Morning, everybody.
God bless you.
Brother Slab.
Now, how do you say the reverse of that, Joe? You say slob alike? I don't know. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your humor. You got a lot of it, too. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask that you bless everybody here tonight, that we all, every one of us, Lord, have our eyes and our ears tuned to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for filling us up with your Holy Spirit, taking our hand and just leading us around this next 2 hours and whatever. And Lord, we thank you for it. I praise you, Father, for this avenue that you've given all of us to come together, fellowship. It just seems like a family. Seems like a close family. And Lord, just thank you so much for bringing all my brothers and sisters together. And so we can talk about you, Lord. Just talk about you and learn things about you and peel off those layers of scriptures and just get in there sometimes and get real deep. And Father, I thank you that you've given us this Zoom communications to come together and be just like we're in each other's home. And I just thank you for it, Father. Help us tonight, Lord. Guide us, lead us, set a watch before our lips that we speak only as you'd have us to speak, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm just excited. I'm excited about what's my transpired. Getting so excited. Gonna be some good stuff happening. What I do with my pencil. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want a prayer of agreement for my arm. I was moving some heavy rolls yesterday, about 120, 130-pound rolls, a lot of them, and my arm started hurting. So I just prayed to the Lord for it.
Yeah, we believe with you, brother. Go ahead.
All right. So we command this arm to be healed in the name of Jesus. All the muscles, all the tendons, all the joints will be healed. There will be no more pain in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, that arm is healed because he's not under the curse. We thank you, Lord, all the pain and all the soreness goes right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right.
I want to add to his prayer and your prayer, please.
Go ahead, George. It'll be fine, brother.
Father, I thank you that you will do above and beyond all that we could think or ask. And Father, I ask for the kingdom of God to go wherever Matthew goes, because I know it does, and that you can change the atmosphere wherever he goes. And that also means taking something that weighs 120 pounds and making it as if it only weighed 12 pounds. And you can take away all fatigue and make his jobs of lifting so easy that people will come to him for the glory. There'll be a jealousy and a wonder, and they will follow those signs and wonders and ask him how he does his job so easily, and he'll have to tell them that the Lord has changed his circumstances in his favor, that he's the king's kid. And Father, I just think you can do anything, and I just ask you to lighten my brother's burden. And I thank you that he carries your burden, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gaynode, how was your trip, girl?
It was long. I didn't get home till yesterday afternoon.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah, it was just delay after delay, and yeah, that's kind of how it went, and it was kind of long. I ended up, well, because there were, you know, the plane in Knoxville was delayed like 4 different times, so by the time I got to Detroit, I missed that plane just by minutes, and then, I don't know, when I went to the plan B in the evening, the lady told me that I had a seat, but in the end, she said she didn't know anything about it when her superiors were there. So anyway, so it was, I had to do some repenting because I was a little irritated with her.
I can imagine.
I had talked to her several times throughout the afternoon because I was like in the Detroit airport from 4 until almost 9:30 in the evening. And at the end, anyway, I had to stay in a hotel, and so it was just a long ordeal. But I made it home, so that's good.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, but, you know, now I'm home, and I'm missing everybody down there, and it's quiet here and full of memories, so it makes it a little hard. Yeah. But I wanted to pray for my sister-in-law because she's kind of going through a lot of the same things I am. But I think maybe for her, I don't know that it's harder, but she's having a hard time with it. She's just, you know, like very, very lonely and kind of depressed. And so just sad. And I have those moments too, but I just would like to pray for her.
Okay.
And also for a friend of mine, Jenny. But first for Mardell, I would just like to pray. Father, I thank you that you are her comforter and you are her healer. And I thank you for the peace and joy that you do have for her. And I just cast out that spirit of loneliness and sadness. And I just speak your peace and joy, your love and your grace and mercy to her. And that she would see that all of this was in your plan and that you do not make mistakes. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to work in her. And I just pray that you would draw her close to yourself, that you would give her the desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that would help her to understand and to receive the truth of your word. I thank you for what you're going to work in her. And I lift up my friend Jenny, and I just pray for strength and healing for her, that you would give her the strength to care for her husband, and you would give her peace and joy also as she is she's going through the loss of a very good friend of hers. And I thank you for what you're going to work in her also. And just pray that each one would just feel your presence and the love that you have for them, and know that you're always there with them. I thank you that you have told me that many times when I've sort of been sitting here thinking I'm all here by myself, and I know I'm not, but it seems like it sometimes. And I just thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we hook our faith up with Gaino. We believe this. You're going to comfort her friend, and we thank you for it. Not only that, Lord, we ask that you fill Gaynor's house up with your angels, that she'll know they're there. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just pray a special blessing for everybody down there. I miss you.
Yeah, we miss you too, Dana, already.
I'll see you again sometime.
Well, we hope soon.
Yeah, me too.
Hope soon. Praise the God.
Good to hear your voice, Gano. Miss you.
I'm good to hear your voice too. Miss you guys a lot.
Well, now you know the way. Praise the Lord.
Yep.
Amen. All right, let's see. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to pray something that well, have you all agree with me. It kind of pertains a bit to, you could link it to what my David's message this past Sunday. It was a pretty sobering one. I guess when I always hear something about judgment, you know, the coming, you know, what's coming on America and just the judgments in general, they're pretty sobering, you know, for me. I mean, they kind of hit, they don't hit home, but they kind of set me back into reality, you know, kind of, I guess, what's coming. But I want to, and I remember you, Marilyn, you were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I think it was on a Saturday. There were only a few of us there, so I don't know, probably no, I mean, not everyone remembers. But you've been praying here and there that we would have, when that time comes, because, you know, we're going to see a lot of death, a lot of loss concerning this, you know, plague that God is going to use. You know, that, and I remember you were saying, you know, I pray for us that we would have, you know, our emotions would not get us to where, or you know, overcome us. I don't know if you remember something like that. And it's, you know, I mean, personally, I could use that, you know, just, I mean, I look at it at times, I look at some, you know, I guess just, how do they keep their emotions in check to where they don't let them overcome them and they can still be obedient? You know, they're just not so, they don't become so broken, so burdened by just the suffering or just by the things that they can remain obedient. And I just would like to pray about that for what's coming, but it, like, you know, we could remain obedient. You know, we would not allow our emotions, you know, I mean, allow the flesh, or allow basically our emotions to overcome us, you know, move us out of being obedient to what we must do. You know, I mean, it's, for me, that'll be hard, but I mean, no, I know with God's grace and he will be able to help me to not let it affect me to where I cannot operate, you know? So just, yeah, just agree with me here, you know, in prayer about all this. Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for, I'd like to personally thank you, Lord, for your mercy. You know, I look at the state of the world we're in today. I look at just the wickedness that sweeps over this land and over this world. It just seems like it goes unchecked. You know, it seems like, you know, many say, where are you at in all this? You know, and we know exactly where you are, Lord. You're sovereign. You have it. You know, you are using it in your bigger purpose, but it's, you know, there's many who don't understand that, God. You know, and even many of your children, they just like, where are you at? What are you doing? Why are you allowing this? And Lord, when the time comes, you know, thank you that we'll be ready to be that light in the darkness, to be that hope, you know, to, we will have such peace and such joy that, you know, just like John G. Lake, you know, had, Lord, you gave him such peace and probably joy that he could go about doing your work. He could go about praying for people. He could go about handling, you know, dead bodies, and but just being able to be obedient to what you called him to. And so, Lord, we ask for that same kind of grace when the time comes, that we would not be overcome by our emotions. We would not be overcome and look at our surroundings and just see the loss and the suffering and the destruction and just be so overwhelmed by it. But Lord, we would remain intact by your grace, you know, and by your power, and that we would be obedient most of all. You know, I pray this for myself, Lord, but I pray that for all here and all who will listen in, you know, not just to us, but those locally for UBM and those all over the world, Lord, that you are going to use. You know, may they see you shine through us, you know, in such a time of, you know, of need. They would look at us and say, why are they at peace? Why are they so joyful? You know, why can't they look around and just be so down and despaired? I mean, you know, despairing like, you know, like the rest of us. I pray that would be our testimony, Lord, that in that time of need, we would shine. You would shine through us. We would not shine, but we would be dead, you know, to the old man, but you would shine forth, you know, your grace, you know, your peace would so surround us that nothing would move us, and that we would be so centered in you, we'd be so secure and just so unmoved by the circumstances around us that we could be that light, you know, we could be that hope to those where it seems there is no hope. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for the work you're doing now. Lord, we thank you for the end goal of what you're going to achieve through all of this judgment and all of this destruction, Lord. We thank you that it's going to bring many into the kingdom. It is exciting, you know. I mean, though it's hard at times, you know, that is just the reality of how you work. You know, through all the destruction, through all the chaos and all that, but in the end, we'll bring many souls into the kingdom. Much victory for you and your work. So we thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe in Joe. We're going to have peace. Father, we're just going to walk around like you're the one guiding us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to know, I might be a little premature, but what Joe was just saying reminded me of the verses. I got encouraging verses. You asked for to us to ask for an encouraging verse. Well, I'd like to know if I can read mine now, because I think it applies to what Joe was saying. I couldn't hear you. You're muted.
Okay, I said, well, hang on, let me ask the Lord. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, it's Psalm 98, and it's a whole chapter, but it's only 9 verses. I'm going to torture y'all. I get my whole chapter in one way or another.
Let me get ready here.
It was verse 2 that I landed on. But it says, oh, sing unto the Lord.
What Psalms is it? Hang on, let everybody get to
Psalm 98.
I'm a little slow here. Hang on. Okay.
Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath wrought salvation for him. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness he hath openly showed in the sight of the nations. He hath remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy. Yea, sing praises. Sing praises unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of melody, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
You know what we do here, don't you? When you read something like that, we jump up and we praise the Lord in joy, in praise and worship, even in the morning meetings. Yeah, praise you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, that you are our God. We don't have to worry about nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Can I point something out if I'm correct? In verse 1, it says, he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath wrought salvation for him. If I remember correctly, when David says, especially the arm, the right the right hand and his holy arm hath wrought salvation for him. I think he's talking about the man child there. In other words, that God's using, using the man child. Because I know David refers to the arm, you know.
Yeah, his right hand and his holy arm. So, amen.
Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
That encouraging part. I'm going to tell something funny this morning. I thought, well, I'll get the verse for tonight, you know. I'll get it this morning. And I get this verse, and I'm like looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like thinking, Lord, that's not encouraging. I'm just trying to find some, maybe there was some kind of twist there that was, I'm like, okay. So I asked Lots, I'm like, you want me to wait till right before the outreach? And he goes, he gives me two heads for a yes. So I was like, okay. Because I'm like, it was like, no, I'm not doing that right now. That's not what I want to do, you know? So, until later, and I'm like, oh, please let it be an encouraging word this time. So, thank you, Lord.
All right.
I hope that encouraged you, Joe.
Amen.
Does that help, Joe? No comment.
He shook his head, yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't see his head. I only have one person on my screen. Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. When I said hi earlier, I was muted. I'd like to share a prayer for my oldest sister. She's kind of a recluse. She doesn't want much to do with any of us, really. And she says she's a Christian. I don't know what to think, really. Her husband, Carl, has Alzheimer's. And he's had it for a few years now, and he's really going downhill. So I tried to reach out to her a couple weeks ago, and couldn't reach her. Then I finally texted her and said, can I get hold of you? Is this a good time to get hold of you? Well, she didn't answer me back until just before the conference call that night and said, sure, I'm available now. I said, well, I can't now because I'm being on a conference call. So I tried again the next day. I asked her if she would be ready for me to, if I could talk to her. Anyway, I think this happened a couple more times. And then she finally responded back with, it's just not going to work, Deb. Carl's going downhill, and I'm as good as can be expected for an old lady. That's, take care. So that was her response to me. And so I knew that was, I really don't want to do this. So, but I'm really feeling strongly inside that God really wants me to reach out to her. And I'm thinking, like, I'd like us to go visit her. And so I'm praying that God, I want to pray that God really open her heart to receive us. And I want to share some material with her, like the real good news and whatever else I have to share with her. So I just want to pray for my sister. Her name is Diane, and my brother-in-law is Carl. This is really kind of a sad thing, so... Lord, I just lift up my sister to you, Lord. God, I just pray that you would touch her heart, Lord. And I just pray that you'd bring her to a place where she would truly cry out to you, Lord, and acknowledge that you are her need, Lord. And I pray that you begin to put faith in her heart and belief in her heart, Lord. Lord, that she could be as good as she believes, not just what she expects, Lord, but she believe in you, Lord, and in your word, Lord. And I ask you, just touch her heart to receive us into her life and to speak into her, Lord, and that it would be you speaking and not me or not us, but it would be you, Lord. Lord, that it's your anointing, God, that reaches a heart, Lord God. So I just pray for that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that even for Carl, God, we know that that you can turn him around, Lord, that he would pray that he would cry out to you, Jesus. And that you would just put in her heart to want that healing for him and believe for him, Lord. So open the door. I ask you to do this, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we hook our faith up with Debbie, and we believe it's going to happen, Lord. We thank you that when they do get together, it's going to be a God thing. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father. Okay. I believe it's done, Debbie.
Amen. Thank you.
Where does she live?
She lives in Springfield, Illinois. Near Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Prayer request. Excuse me. A praise report. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
I'd just like to pray for Debbie's sister as well. I just kind of a urging on my heart there. Lord, we thank you for Diane. And Lord, we just bind up these spirits of heaviness and depression and hopelessness and discouragement. Lord, also any bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness that may be going on there, annoyance, frustration. And Lord, Father, even towards you, we bind these things up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we retain for Diane grace, that you will grant her repentance and faith and grace, that you will enlighten the eyes of her understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you just pour out a spirit of comfort upon her, and Lord, even an awareness that she's not alone. And Lord, I pray also that you will prepare the way by the power of the Holy Spirit for Denny and Debbie to be able to go. And there needs to be some dialogue first. It sounds right now that she's not even willing. But Lord, we don't receive that. We're asking the Holy Spirit to go before them and show them favor, that Diane is going to be not only willing to talk to them and fellowship with them and want to see them, but she's going to really be looking forward to that you're going to change her attitude there, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the good work that you're doing there. And we just cast down the spirit of hindrance and the shutting out, that spirit of exclusion that wants to exclude Debbie and Denny right now. We command that thing to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you all the praise and glory. And I thank you, Lord, that we can pray this in Jesus' name and believe that you've done it. Amen.
Amen. I believe it too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, when she gets there, when Debbie gets there, the joy of the Lord is going to enter that house. And Lord, and I ask that you fill her up, Diane, up with the joy of the Lord, your Holy Spirit, and that they would have a wonderful, wonderful visit in the name of Jesus. And only you will be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? His testimonies and praise reports.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. That you,
Jill? Yes, this is me.
Hi, Charity.
I just wanted to make sure I knew how to do this here because I haven't done it for so long. I just talked to my mother-in-law, Chad's mom, and she's just going through a lot of loneliness because her daughter, she's been in the hospital for 4 months and she has cancer. This is Chad's stepsister. So and she's just been at the house and she had a close friend pass away recently. And then another friend of hers is in the nursing home. And so she's just kind of there by herself. And so I just want to pray for, it seems like a lot of people are going through a lot of loneliness, you know, so that just kind of struck home when I heard the other people praying. So I just wanted to lift her up as well as my, as Lita, my Chad's stepsister, and also for Chad. So Lord, I pray for Chad's mom, Lord, that you will just bring comfort to her in this time, Lord, where she's just been there by herself in the home for this past 4 months, and her close friend of her passing away and another one in the nursing home, and she just feels by herself and kind of alone. And I know she misses hearing from Chad too, and I just pray for the comfort of your spirit to be upon her and that you would minister to her in a mighty way, that you would just pour your loving kindness upon her, and that you just send your angels to minister to her and comfort her and pour out your grace upon her. And I pray for new friendships too, Lord, that you would just bring other people into her life, Lord, who could be there physically to have time with her, Lord Jesus, that you would just do just a deep work and just draw her closer to you, Lord. I just pray that you'd fill her with your spirit. And I know she's not spirit filled. So Lord, I pray for an infilling of your spirit, Lord. She loves you and she knows you, but she's not filled with your spirit. So I just pray for that, Lord, that you would just supernaturally do that, that you just visit her in a mighty way, and that you would do a mighty work in her and be with Lita, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless her and strengthen her, Lord. We just pray that this cancer would just be gone from her body completely in Jesus' name, and that you would just heal her, Lord, and touch her and just minister to her while she's in the hospital and give her hope. I pray that you would just pour out your grace upon her and fill her with your spirit also. She knows you, but she's not spirit-filled, so we just pray that for an infilling of your spirit upon her and strengthen her by the power of your spirit, and just pray for Chad too, that you would just be with him. And I pray that you would just continue that work which you have started and minister to him in whatever he's going through, Lord Jesus. Just pray that you would just breathe upon him and draw him closer to you, Lord. I pray for your hope of your spirit to rest upon him. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you will fill Leah with your Holy Spirit, because that's the power she needs. And Father, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command that spirit of cancer off of her.
Mm-hmm.
This name, I command you to go from her.
Yes.
And the spirit of fear of cancer to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're restoring everything that the enemy has taken from her. In Jesus' name, strength and whatever restoration of all things that the cancer has tried to take from her. These demons are gone in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you that this is going to be a testimony to her and the people around her of your goodness and your grace, Lord, upon her. And Father, we lift up Chad to you, and we thank you. We bind up those spirits that causing him torment, and we cast them off of him in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for clarity of thought We cast down all kinds of self-pity and all that kind of garbage. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to just show him that you still love him. And, Father, I praise you for that. And wake him up in Jesus' name. Condemnation, you go off of him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Chad will be coming home soon with a grin on his face and a skip in his walk because he's come back to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
All right. I believe it's done.
Amen. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Anyone else? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I have a praise report. I realized something the other day that after going through deliverance and everything, I'm trying to remember how long I had this. I think ever since he was about 40, my heart would just like kind of just have a brief period where it just doesn't beat regular, you know, just jump around or whatever. And I'm pretty sure I was 40. This was before I was in faith, you know. I had gone to the doctor and they put a heart monitor on me and they said they didn't detect anything at that time, you know, it didn't do anything. They put it on me for a day. And anyway, but it had been doing it since then. And gosh, that's 14 years.
That's, what is that, about 30 years ago?
No, 14. It did that for about 14 years, you know, and it had gotten worse. But I haven't had it since the deliverance. So praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know what it was. I'm not sure if it was a generational curse thing or I have a funny suspicion that it was a manifestation of condemnation. Because something came to me today. Actually, this just came to me today because I was thinking about it, and what came to my mind was, is if your heart condemn you not, how's that go? You have boldness towards God. If your heart condemns you not, you have boldness towards God.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was.
Okay. So. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. No more heart problem. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for a gentleman I met out here. He's a night security guard. His name is Phil. And probably three or four weeks ago when I started out here, I met him in one of the buildings there, and we sat down and struck a conversation, and he had just lost his wife. I would imagine, I think he mentioned something about 49 or 50 years being married. And so he was going through a kind of a trying time there. He's of the Catholic persuasion. And so we just struck up a conversation. We're talking about the Lord and whatnot. So he interesting in the conversation, the Lord just kind of laid it on my heart at the time. He was very open, and he was speaking, you know, about his loss and everything. And I remember at that time when I lost my son earlier in 2002. And one thing that the Lord gave me at that time was to focus on the years that He gave me and thank Him for the years that He gave me, as opposed to thinking on the years I expected to have my son with me. And at that time, I mentioned it to him as we were talking, and he seemed to receive that and to take that, and really thanked me for sharing that with him. And so I started praying for him after that, and evidently, I just met him like an hour ago. I was over in another building out here and saw him out there, and he continued on with kind of the same level of conversation that we did then, and he was struggling here for he mentioned that he was having a rough time of it here a couple weeks ago or whatever, and he just took some time off, and he went to a retreat here, and he just said he really got some things straight with the Lord and whatever that meant. I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that, but anyway, I'd like to just pray for him that the Lord would continue on and draw him and open up his eyes to the gospel. I'm not sure exactly what he knows about the Lord and what environment he's been in, but the Lord does, and the Lord is well able to bring us out of whatever deception that we may be bound up with. So, Father, just lift up Phil to you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you are greater than all of our darkness. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, you send every man into the world with light, with your light in them. And I just ask that you would open up his eyes to the light of Jesus, and that he can start to see. Lord, I just ask you for that light in his heart to be able to separate the light from the darkness, and that he would enter into a time of true repentance and thinking upon you and just casting his heart upon you, Lord. He's in a place now where things have gotten very clear as far as no other focuses except what is happening within him and where his relationship is with you. So, Lord, I just ask you to open up his eyes, draw his heart to you, and bless him, Lord, and turn his heart toward you, that he might see and that he might enter into the kingdom. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace for him. Bless him in the name of Jesus. And just thank you, Father, for opening up his eyes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe with Pat that this is going to happen. In Jesus' name. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody else? Praise report, testimony.
Michael, I better give a quick praise to Jesus.
Okay. We've
had Kitchen Impossible, which is pretty much every week anyways, but this week has been really stretched. And they called us aside today and said they haven't been able to talk about anything in their meetings because of the food and how good we've been doing at every meal and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, it's a setup. They're fixing to, they're getting the Holy Spirit's all over them is all I can say. So I'm going to expect something big in Maine. That's it.
Thank you, Lord. Maybe you'll get some warm weather up there, George. That'd be awesome. Okay. Anybody else? Well, right before the call tonight, I got a word, and it's in Psalms 25, another good one. Psalms 25. My finger was on 20. I'm going to read 20 through 22. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start at 18. Psalms 25, 18 through 22. Consider my affliction and my travail, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And we thank you, Lord, for redeeming us out of all of our troubles, too. We thank you, Lord, for handling all of our enemies and taking care of them, Father. We thank you, Father, that you have surrounded us. And you're the one that's cleaning us up. And I thank you for that, Father. You're taking care of our enemies, too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like to do mine. In fact, I had the same thought Missy did when Joe was sharing. I thought, oh, this is good if Joe was sharing. And she read hers. Mine is Psalm 34. But I'd like to share the whole chapter. That's really good. They're encouraging. Psalm 34. I will always thank the Lord. I will never stop praising him. I will praise him for what he has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad. Proclaim with me the Lord's greatness. Let us praise his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. The oppressed look to him and are glad. They will never be disappointed. The helpless call to him, and he answers. He saves them from all their troubles. His angel guards those who have reverence for the Lord and rescues them from danger. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Happy are those who find safety with him. Have reverence for the Lord, all his people. Those who obey him have all they need. Even lions go hungry for lack of food, but those who obey the Lord lack nothing good. Come, my young friends, and listen to me, and I will teach you to have reverence for the Lord. Would you like to enjoy life? Do you want long life and happiness? Then keep from speaking evil and from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Strive for peace with all your heart. The Lord watches over the righteous and listens to their cries, but he opposes those who do evil, so that when they die, they are soon forgotten. The righteous call to the Lord, and he listens. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. The good man suffers many troubles, but the Lord saves him from them all. The Lord preserves him completely. Not one of his bones is broken. Evil will kill the wicked. Those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord will save his people. Those who go to him for protection will be spared. Lord, thank you, God, for who you are to your people, God, and that we can put our trust in you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're merciful to us when we do even lose faith and get in points of hopelessness, God, that you lift us up, Lord, every time, God. And we thank you that you have such promises for us, for our protection ahead in these days to come, Lord. We just thank you, God, for your encouragement, Lord, for who you are to us, oh God. Drawing us unto yourself. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking on this today, and kind of the Lord kind of opened thinking, I guess. I was reading the parable about the sower. Let me go back to that just so I have it in front of me. In Matthew 13, it's in Matthew 13, verse 8 is where I was at. But he was talking about the sower that went out to sow. And the seed fell on rocky ground, some, you know, all the different four types of grounds, etc., or whatever. But anyway, in verse 13, 8, it says, and others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit. Some 100-fold and some 60, some 30. He that has an ear, let him hear what. And so when I was thinking of that, I'm looking down at the other verse. And in 23, this was what, verse 23, this was the Lord's, told them what it meant. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understands it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, what the Lord showed me in that is that there was a little subtle thought, I guess, that was resting in my mind about what this meant. And when I heard it, I always when I read it, I was always thinking that this meant that there's going to be Christians that are 100-fold Christians, and there's going to be Christians that are going to be 60-fold Christians, and there's going to be Christians that are going to be 30-fold. In other words, you know, some will be more fruitful, and some will be half as fruitful, and some will be the lowest amount of fruit, or whatever it is, in some sort of hierarchical form. Now, that was what I was thinking in my mind when I read this verse. And the Lord kind of corrected that, as he usually does when you simply just read his word, and you actually just read the words and not read the thoughts. And that's, I don't know if you can catch what I'm saying there or whatever, but so as I got to looking at it, I what the verse actually says is that the word goes into your heart and that you understand some of that word, some portions of the word you understand become a hundredfold fruitful in your life, and some of the word that you receive only becomes 60%, and some of the word that you believe only becomes 30-fold. Now, what all that 30 and 160-fold mean and how it translates out, I don't know what that means in a person's life. But the point that I saw was that, and it's a very subtle point, probably not earth-shaking in any sense, but the only reason I bring it up is that if you are susceptible to the same weaknesses that I am, to that would tend to for interest or to introspection, shall we say, or self-searching or looking and comparing yourself and, you know, wondering if you're you know, sizing up and, you know cutting the muster or making the grade or whatever. That's kind of a temptation and a thing that's in there, that a temptation that I battle with. Then you might be like me, that you would look at this you would tend to look out across the spiritual landscape there and see certain people that may be representing a hundredfold tendencies or a hundredfold fruit, and thinking to myself, wow, I can never match up to that. I'm, you know, woe is me, I'm a loser type of a concept. I'll never make the grade or whatever. And but that is not what this scripture is saying. I believe it is saying that word, when it comes into us, whatever section or portion of that word it is, some of it is more fruitful in our lives than others, other areas. And what I had to see, why that was so significant, is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 12, there's a statement that Paul makes there, and he says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, by measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." And it dawned on me, as I was thinking about it, that I don't know if this 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold process or scenario within us is necessary because I think that some of us, God has put us together as a body. And I went over to that scripture just to think about that. In 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, it says, "For as the body is one, and he hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now are they members, many members, yet one body. And so I used to look on that scripture, and it became a negative, kind of a negative for me, because I felt as though I can never live up to being that hundredfold Christian, at least in my mind of thinking there. I realized that that 160 and 30 fold is a process that God has put in the body so that we in our strengths can help the body, and that we might learn humility and receive and learn where we are weak. And so the body fit together the way God has designed it. And so I don't know what that, I don't know where to go with that at this point. All I know is a very subtle thing. I think of, what is it, the scripture that Paul was talking about? Maybe it's Peter. Something of the don't get being angry and don't give ground to the devil. Don't let your anger go down, you know, at night or whatever. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give place to the devil. That word place meaning a piece of ground, basically a piece of, and I think that this that I've just expressed was a piece of ground that in my ignorance was there, and always letting that demon of self-rejection or self-whatever stand in there and slap me around every once in a while type of thing. So I just had to throw it out and maybe help someone else as well.
Let's do this. Let me ask the question. Can someone tell us what the 30, 60, and 100-fold is? Oh, come on now. Y'all been listening to David for a long time.
Talk about the different glories, you want me, or what?
No, the 30, 60, and 100-fold is Christ in you. That's what it is. The 30, 60, and 100-fold is how much Christ are you acting on. There are people that have 30-fold Christ in them. That's probably new people coming in that's believing or just finding out about the revelations of the sovereignty of God or whatever. And then you have between the 30 and the 60, those people are becoming more mature in Christ, walking like Christ, walking more like Christ in his steps. And then the 100, then from 60 to 100-fold, you got your mature Christians that are walking. The 100-fold Christian is walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus. He's got the signs and the wonders like Jesus. Yeah, Leah.
I was understanding that Pat was
your volume is way down.
Okay, well, I was understand. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay, I was understanding Pat to say that he was himself, with his knowledge, he had all three of those aspects in him. Was I correct in assuming that was what you were talking about, Pat? Or were you talking about three different individuals? Or were you talking about one individual displaying all three aspects with his knowledge?
I was talking more in terms with the word being expressed within us as individuals. Some portions of that word being more mature, more understood, more of a faithful resting in some sections, some portions of the word, that being more easily manifested in a hundredfold fruit in our life, and some being not, say, I won't say struggling, but still learning to grow, learning to exercise, being of sections of the word that may only result in 60-fold fruit or 60-fold manifestation of Christ. I may be way off base here. All I'm thinking is that in me, it allowed me to see that certain portions of the word are not as exercised in me as other sections of the word. And therefore, there's a weakness and, let's just say, a 30-fold representation of Christ in that particular area of my life. Now, having said that, obviously, we all look to be a hundredfold representation in all aspects of the word.
The way that you attain all of those things is by faith, Pat. And you get that faith by reading and studying the Word of God. and you walk in that 30-fold. You're right and you're correct in your assumption that you find a scripture that you understand how Jesus walked in that scripture. And you understand it, you start walking it. Yeah, you've got that one right there. That's fine. You're 100-fold on that particular scripture. The 30, 60, and 100-fold encapsulates the whole body of Christ, the whole person, me, you, Leon, Joe, all of us individually. And we're all striving. We all believing. We're looking at the end rather than the beginning. We're calling those things that are not, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:18. You know, we're looking at Jesus in the mirror. Everything is by faith. And so that's what the 30, 60, and 100-fold is all about. It's believing that God is working out in us as we learn, what you're talking about, as we learn the Word of God. Just to put it in simple terms, you know. That's what the 30, 60, and 100-fold is. Yeah, go ahead.
So if there was, I mean, I can't think of where it would be, but let's just say, what if there was a section of the Word of God that I was ignorant of, or an aspect of the life of Christ that I was ignorant of, then I couldn't possibly be functioning in a hundredfold fruit in that area of my life, because the seed hadn't actually come in and germinated into this good ground, shall we say. So
we don't look at it like that. We just read and study the Word of God, and we know it by faith, and then God works it in us. It's not anything that we do other than read and study the Word of God. It's not real complex. It's actually fairly simple. I got to read the Word of God. It's my job. And then God's job is to work it out in me. And my big job is to have faith that He is working it in me. That's the simple gospel right there. And I know it's, I like to put things in simple form. I can't grasp all this other stuff. I'm just an old simple farm boy, you know. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I thought I'd clarify a little bit, or at least try to. I see what you were saying, Pat. There's certain areas that you haven't seen manifested in your life yet compared to another. I think that's basically what you were saying. And that's what Michael was saying with faith. We understand faith. We're calling those things that are not as though they were, so we can say like the hundredfold sonship. Okay, we don't see it yet. It's not there. We don't see it with our own eyes, but by faith, we're there. So and that's just like faith. Until it manifests, until it's visibly seen, we still believe we have it. So whatever those areas are that you're just like, oh, I don't see this manifesting in my life, compared to the ones you do see, that's just where faith comes in. That's what I have to keep telling myself a lot of times. I'm kind of like, oh, I don't see this manifest, but I have to stop and say, wait a minute, I've already got it. I'm continually speaking it, continually just exercising faith. Yes, this is already mine. Okay, I don't see it with my own two carnal eyes, but that doesn't matter, because by faith, it's already mine. And I'll keep saying that, and I'll keep speaking it and believing it, and just rest, of course, and endure that trial. That's the thing. Enduring that trial of your faith until you see it manifest. So the whole time you're saying it, it's already mine. I'm already that. Whatever it is. And then when it manifests, yeah, absolutely. But the whole time you're already still believing, so it's like you're not even really waiting for it to manifest, because you already believe, yeah, it's already mine. That's what I am. And then when it manifests, you say, exactly, see, it's already mine. So, if that helps, but it sounds like maybe you kind of get a little mentally, you get all caught up thinking, well, I don't have it yet. I don't have it. I don't see it. And that's where faith comes in. Say, no, hold up. Yes, I do have it. I've already got it. I'm just waiting for it to manifest. But yeah, just always still believe it's all. I've already got it, and then you will see it manifest, however long it takes. So.
Amen. All right, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with Joe saying that's very true, but it's also, when Jesus is here. This is coming from, I think it's John. I'm pretty sure it's John. John 5, 19. Jesus was saying, he's talking about himself. He says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but we see the Father doing. For whatever things he sees him doing, or the Father doing, these the Son also does likewise. If you get your eyes on yourself and thinking you're going to do it on your own, boy, you're crazy. This is not going to happen. It's not going to be you. It's going to be the Father doing things in you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit doing things in you. It's going to be walking by faith and allowing things to happen. Jesus was able to be totally submitted to the Father and had that communion that we are reaching for. We are reaching for that communion where we just sit back and the Father leads and directs and does everything through and for us, and we're just guided like Jesus. But if we get our eyes on ourselves and wonder about why we're not making it, it's because we're looking at ourselves to do the things that only God can do.
Amen.
We can't be perfect like God the Father, but He can be perfect in us if we allow it. So we got to get our eyes off ourselves and onto the Savior, onto the Father, and allow Him to do that perfect work and to do His will, to will and do His good pleasure in us. and just walk by faith and not by sight. If we keep on walking, like Joe's saying, if we keep on walking by sight and looking at the old man, we're going to be discouraged and we're never going to be getting anywhere. So you got to quit looking at yourself and looking to the Savior, look to the Word, just like Joe said, this accept it by faith. And Jesus was walking, talking, accepting everything by faith from the Father, what he's seen the Father doing, because he wasn't trying to walk on his own either. So that's how his example is for us.
Amen. Let me read this. Let me read this verse here. They moved it into 2 Corinthians 3:18. I said 1 Corinthians a while ago. I can't believe they moved it over. But anyway, but we all, with unveiled face, unveiled means there's nothing there now. We can see spiritually. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, because I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at Jesus in me. Beholding it as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are transformed by our faith. We're transformed because we're looking in the mirror, seeing Jesus. We're looking in that spiritual mirror. We're seeing Jesus every day because we realize that God's doing it in us. Into the same image of who? Jesus. The same image of Jesus. From glory down here to glory up here to glory up here. Even as from the Lord the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that works it in us as we believe that he's doing it. And we speak it out of our mouth. Thank you, Jesus, that today my flesh is dead and you're alive. I'm walking and talking Jesus on this earth, and I don't care what nobody said. Lord of God, somebody fixing to hear about Jesus from me. Or whatever it is, you do it. But that's the way we do it. We do it by faith. It's all a faith walk. And then acting on that faith. Because we don't want to be hearers only. We want to be hearers and doers of the Word of God. And that's what he's talking about there. So it's a faith walk. Okay, Denny, you had your hand up, Paula. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know in John 15 in the parable of the vine, he mentions bearing fruit, bearing more fruit, and bearing much fruit. You know, there's three levels of fruit there. First is if a person's bearing fruit, God will purge him that he would bring forth more fruit. So we have to endure that purging to bring forth the more fruit. Then in verse 5, I think it is, he says that if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bring forth much fruit. So there's more, there's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's, possible three levels there.
Amen. Anybody else? Does that make sense, Pat? Okay.
I got something. It's hard to put out there. I don't want to diminish the earthly ministry of Jesus. But even he said he was tempted in all ways just like we are. And he humbled himself to become a man. And I think about before his public ministry of miracles began, he was still well-versed and knew who he was and in the kingdom. And was it a revelation from Mary that his time had come to do miracles? Was he walking in 30-fold before he turned water to wine? And then when he later maybe addressed the widow's son that was being carried to be buried, and he laid hands on the casket and said, "Rise," or whatever. Was that him walking in miracles where he needed to touch somebody? And then later, did he waylay Jairus and heal the woman who touched his garment? And then they said, "She's gone." He said, "No, when we get there, everything will be all right." And he walked more in faith, knowing that he had the authority to call, to bring them back, even if she was, or revelation that she, you know. And even later, Lazarus stinking in the tomb, and he was not one little bit worried. Was there a progression of faith in all of that? And just something to think about. He was tempted in all ways, just as we are.
Okay. If you remember, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, and he said to them, when he's talking to his parents, at 12 years old, if we're going back to that, at 12 years old, he said, and he said to them, "Hey, that you sought me, know ye not that I must be in my Father's house?" And then verse 52, "And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So there was a progression in his walk as well. So George, I think you're right. He advanced through knowledge. Yeah, Julie. And I think it came from the Holy Spirit, by the way. Go ahead.
That's what I was thinking too. He didn't do any miracles until he was filled with the Holy Spirit after he became, he had to be 30 years old to be I can't remember the term, a minister, Lord, to a minister to go, could to teach and to do those things as far as the age goes, as far as the Jewish law, right? Didn't have to be 30 years old, and then he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled, and he was tempted out in the wilderness. He was driven out there by the Spirit to be tempted, and then, you know, the temptations we know didn't stop there. You know, that was just the 40 days where he was tried, and there was three examples given that he was tempted by Satan. But in 40 days, I'm assuming. There had to have been many temptations during that time. So I was also thinking, I mean, I didn't come in earlier, but I was listening to Tuesday night's message. You guys were talking about that, and something was coming to my mind when you were talking about, did Mary and Joseph know who he was, how he was, you know, the Christ, the Messiah, whatever. But I remember Mary pondering things in her heart when, you know, she really didn't express anything. She pondered a lot of things in her heart when she saw and witnessed what Jesus said and did. I'm sure she had a lot of questions, a lot of thoughts about who he was, even the scriptures and what the angels told her when, you know, she was to conceive by the Holy Spirit, what all that meant. And I think, like with any of us, revelations were given to them. Or even his disciples, you know, their hearts were hardened when they didn't know and they didn't believe things and they didn't have faith and couldn't see it because the Lord hadn't given the revelation, hadn't removed the veil that they may, you know, behold all that he was until it was, you know, I could read those scriptures about how, you know, how many times did he tell them he was going to be, you know, crucified? He talked about his death, how he'd be given up, you know, to the Gentiles and how he would be, you know, beaten, all these things. He told them, but they still didn't like get it. They didn't realize this was really going to happen. And so I think a lot of times it's just the Lord just not giving revelations, allowing people to understand until it's time for them to understand. I just think it's the same way with our own growth in our maturing as you, at least for me anyhow, personally, I, you know, you go through things and you realize, like, okay, why am I going through all this? And I know God's doing what he's doing, but until you go through it, and then you realize, okay, now I understand what God was doing. Yeah, and I understand that this was okay. I have to go through this because my faith has to be proven. Or, you know, there's also, you know, the going through the trials so that stuff can come up to the surface so you can see it and get rid of it and all that stuff. But it's like, it's just as you're maturing, God's not going to give you more than what you can handle. At any given time, he's not going to. He knows who his babies are. He knows who the more mature are, and he knows the knowledge you have and what you're being tried in. So as George was saying, it's like, you know, I believe there's a lot of truth there, that he was maturing in his ministry towards the end to prepare him for the death he was going to go to. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Yeah, Dave.
And that song's out there, Mary, Did You Know? I mean, that's right there. It's kind of obvious. And they're singing about it. That's kind of a joke. Mary, Did You Know?
I know. I caught it. It didn't go over my head, Dave. I got it, buddy. Amen. Well, listen. When did Jesus know that he was God? He knew that he was God from eternity past, didn't he? He knew that he was going to have to go through this. Before he ever came to earth, he knew that he was going to have to go through this. And from a heavenly perspective, he knew it from the beginning. From a manly perspective, he had to come to some point and realize who he was. And it could be that he knew from the beginning, you know, when he finally got all the baby junk out of his head and what that was. And I think that the Lord placed in, I don't know, you know, what we're doing is speculating here because the scripture's not real clear on it. But Dave, I'm going to give my little opinion here and then you can give yours and then we can come together here somewhere. Anyway, I think that Jesus had the personality of God from the beginning. You know, I think that even as a baby, he grew up, and I don't think he was, I don't know this, I don't, I don't know how he was as a baby, as a toddler, and then as a growing up a child. I suspect he was quite meek and humble. Don't know that, but that's just me. But I think he knew a while before he was 12 who he was. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say that because he had to take on a form of a man, he had to be like a man in every way too. He had to do everything that we had to go through and experience through life from birth all the way to maturity. So that wasn't removed as a man. He had to understand man because he knew what was in man because he had to be part of man, the society of man. He couldn't be our savior unless he was a man. So he had to be fully God and fully man. So he had to know both. He had to be aware of both of what they were all about. And not that God the Father doesn't know and is blind to that, but Jesus had to be that. And in order to be that, he had to go through it. So there's no doubt in my mind he had experienced both ends of everything and know what it was to be fully God and have God in him, but been there from the beginning of creation with God, from God, and also at the same time go through the whole process of being a man on the earth from birth all the way up till this, wherever he got that level where he was all of a sudden all together. And however that grew up in faith levels and all that, how else can he be our savior unless he understands what we're going through? You know, unless he's been there.
He was an overcomer, wasn't he? In all things. Listen, what I get right with you, Diane. Let me quote this one verse, okay? Matthew 11:27. I ran across this today. Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. That's what he said. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And I believe that he got that early on. Go ahead, Diane.
Not working.
We can hear you, Diane.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Oh, it kept saying I was muted.
I couldn't hear.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, I was looking for the verse that came to me. It's in Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the way I'm understanding this is he knew he was God. He was in the form of God, but he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he's confessing that he was equal with God, but he laid all that aside. He, being equal with God, he took no reputation. He became a man, and then even lower than a man, he became the slave, which is like the lowest status you can be as a man, even allowing himself to be crucified and put on the cross. So what I'm getting out of this here is that he knew he was God in the form of God, but it's like he laid that all aside, and that's what I got out of it. I don't know if that it's on the track or helps anybody, whatever.
Yeah, and that's good. That's a good point. He knew who he was, but he went ahead and went through all these trials and overcame them. That's the key right there. He overcame them.
Overcame.
And he was, yes, and he was showing us as a man that we can do the same thing with his help. That's what he was telling us. Amen. That's a good point.
Yeah, he was saying he sanctified himself so we can sanctify us too.
Yep. Amen. Good point. All right. Anybody? Yeah, Leah.
Here's that verse in Psalm 22 that talks about him coming from his mother's womb and worshiping God. It's Psalm 22, 9 and 10. We talked about this at the Bible study yesterday, and Anna read it.
Go ahead and read it if you want.
Verse 9, it says, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God since my mother bare me. So I agree with what you said, Dave, about having to be a man. And obviously so does Michael agree with that. And but he did know from the very beginning that he was God, that he worshiped God.
Yeah. Well, you know, since reading these scriptures, I've changed my mind from earlier when I thought that Joseph and Mary had taught him, because the scriptures kind of seem to tell us that he already knew during this. That was just me. All right.
I think it was filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit communicated with him who he really was. He also communicated that he had a task to do. He had to live as a man, just like you were speaking just a moment ago, and Dave mentioned that he had to go through all the trials of a man to show us that we could do it as well. And the Spirit helped him whenever he needed it, you know, and got him out of a lot of trouble, probably. I need the Spirit to help me stay out of trouble. All right. That's all I got.
Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I just thought, you know, I didn't mean to. I also think about the time when he knew he was going to the cross and up to building up to those moments. It's like, wow, you know, he just knew that was coming. And he still, when he was in the garden praying that the Father take this burden cup from him if he could, but not my will, thy will be done. Well, well, that would have been tough, you know, and knowing what he's going to go through. It's not just the death, but, you know, he knows he's taking everybody's sin at the same time. He knows what's going on. It's like, this is going to be heavy stuff here. But, you know, that was another thing he had to overcome for us because we couldn't do it. And he did it. And it's like, wow, all these things he overcame in his life so that we could look to him to hope overcome in our life. And not that we're going to do it ourselves, that we can rely upon him and lean on him. Because he's going to take that burden from us. This wasn't the passage I got earlier. I asked God if I had to show it, and he said no, so I'm not going to read what he gave me. But I will give you what he did give me today still. Since he says, in Psalm 81:60 says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. That's what the Lord did for us. He took away that burden. Not that we don't go through it, not that we're not brought through a process and sanctified through it, but the burden that he went through, he removed, that we can go through it and we don't have to carry that basket. He wants us to get into that rest. That was Psalm 81:6.
I guess I better unmute. Anybody else get a word?
I don't want to upset anybody, but imagine what it would have been like for Jesus to be, I mean, Bethlehem was 80 miles from Nazareth. But I can imagine he traveled that area and would have been the only male child his age in that area around Bethlehem. And that would just been another witness to him of the strangeness of his life. And he would have probably had to internally talk to God the Father. And you know, if they didn't already tell him the story of Herod slaughtering the innocents and the trip to Egypt and the gold and frankincense and all the stuff that they lived on possibly. I mean, there's some circumstances there that even a little child would pick up on and his conscience would communicate. I just think, like you said, God gave him all things. I think there would be a witness early of just the uniqueness and the, you know, some questions in his mind that God would probably speak to him and comfort him. He's the God of all comfort.
Amen. Yep, he is. Yeah, Julie.
I was thinking about when was he hearing the voice of the Lord? Like we know that the Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb. But you know, if the Lord Jesus, as even as a 12-year-old, was teaching in, you know, was having conversations with the scholar, you know, and the learned men, you know, and was even confounding them. I mean, he must have been hearing the voice of the Lord from a very young age by the Holy Spirit, who, of course, is, he was hearing this Father's voice. I'm wondering, even from a child to know what he knew, and now just kind of throw that out there as far as, you know, we hear the voice of the Lord by the Spirit. So he knew him as his father, I think, at a very young age. He knew God as his father from a very young age and knew that and referred to him as that always. Yeah, just another thought.
Yeah. What was that verse we just read, Psalms 22?
Yeah, it was 22.
9 and 10.
Beyond Road.
That pretty much told us that he knew from birth. I don't see it in 22.
Psalm 22, 9 and 10.
Yeah, I see it now. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God since my mother bare me. So apparently he had some, he was seeing God back then, you know. I don't know. That's what it looks like from birth. Anyway, we just have to keep our mind on him. Go ahead, Andrew.
I've just been writing down some things because, you know, just trying to glean a few little bullet point things on what we were just discussing about Jesus, whether he would know these things or not. So what I wrote down here is, these are like personal things, like, what am I being tried in now? We need to go through the trials of man as a son of God. We need to look to him, to Jesus, seeing we are his, we're to give it all to God, and God will speak to you because he is God and the God of all comforter, the God of all comfort, and he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, and he even spoke to a boy prophet, Samuel, and also Psalm 22, 9 and 10, which we just talked about. And I only mention this because on Tuesday was because I wanted to use it as a comparison with Jesus on how you grow up in Christ. That's all. Because everyone here is perfect. And so was Jesus. But the one we came out of was our spiritual mom. That's all I wanted to. I kind of used you. I didn't know. I wasn't doing maliciously. It just happened. and it also, this encouragement is really nice too. Because, you know, the Matthew 11, 27, and then the very next verse that came after that was Philippians 2 and 6. And, of course, it in there it says to have this mind in. So whatever you got there in 11 and 27 is an example for us too. And it should be somewhere along our maturity, this 11:27 of Matthew. That's the only reason why I think the Lord would even have us discuss something like that. Anyway.
No, I'll tell you what, it turned out good, didn't it? Turned out pretty good. The next one we're gonna check on is, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? And we'll call it with that. Anyway, go ahead, Missy.
Did I hear you say what I thought you said?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She's got the answer.
Okay.
Have belly buttons because they weren't born.
Right before you. Well, it's a good one. Right before you read about there in Psalm 22 and verse 10, it says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God since... No, I'm sorry, about, actually, verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. Well, right before you started reading that, there are some things churning in my head. And, you know, for Jesus to be 12 years old and not be with Mary and Joseph for 2 days, and he acted like it was nothing, rings true to this word that he trusts. Thou didst make me trust. You know, he was trusting in God. He wasn't, even at 12, not being with his earthly parents, you know, he trusted. But, you know, something funny came to me at the end of Tuesday night, and this funny thought came to me, which is the other side of this. I thought, you know, if I would have been Mary and Joseph and find out that he's been missing for 2 days, I'd have been like, oh, my gosh, I lost God's son. Oh, my gosh, I lost the Son of God. I'd have been freaking out, you know. But what came to me, though, was this. The Lord reminded me that when my son Kurt was three, we were in Disney World in the shopping area, and he went up in this slide, and his father had gone off to get something to drink. And both my boys were up in this slide, and I couldn't see where they were at. And Matt came out, and I didn't see Kurt come out. There was four different places. Well, when Kurt came out, he got disoriented and he went off in the wrong direction looking for his father. And anyway, and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, you know, you hear horror stories about kids losing, parents losing their kids in Disney World and never seeing them again. And then, also thinking, oh my gosh, his dad is going to kill me, you know. But anyway, it's just kind of that was my experience, and I thought it was kind of a little humorous thought, you know, that they'd be like, oh no, we lost the Son of God, you know. But anyway, Jesus, he was calm, cool, and collected, and they were kind of bothered, like, where were you? We lost you for 2 days, you know. But anyway, so.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. Wonder where he spent the night.
In the temple.
Well, probably so. Probably so. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Well, I know you got a lot of faces on your screen, and unless we're moving, we just all look like we're staring at you. I guess I was thinking the whole the faith thing too is about, you know, the perfection, the sanctification, and we're supposed to accept everything by faith, and know that the reconciliation was made. The Lord took our old life completely and gave us all that he is. And we're just supposed to accept that by faith and trust God to manifest that in us, that we have all of his good and he took away all of our evil. The exchange is made in full. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But the belly button thing kind of, that was an interesting curve. That is an interesting thought.
Well, I just got to come up with it, but I didn't.
They didn't need belly buttons now, did they? They didn't have them. I mean, well, I don't know that, but.
You don't know that, you know.
I don't know that.
You know.
I don't know that.
We don't know.
We don't. There's a lot we don't know.
It's a way to collect water.
It could be.
We know that they weren't born babies. They were born as adults.
Right.
Or formed as adults. So
yeah. But God,
they missed that whole childhood thing.
God could have given them a perfect belly button.
That's an interesting aspect. So what did they know that we, they grew up with a lot more knowledge. Is that, that's it?
Well, can you imagine this conversation around the dinner table between them four? Daddy, how come you ain't got a belly button? I got a belly button. You ain't got no belly button. What's the deal here? I don't know if that would go on or not. I don't know why you got a, I got a belly button. You ain't got one. Or they might have been saying, I got a belly button, you don't have one, nah, 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 you know.
And how do we know they didn't call it something else?
Well, I don't know.
At like a navel.
A who?
Navel. Your navel.
That's something, that's a ship or something, ain't it? I know what you're talking about. Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know. Just something to while away the day with, you know.
Well, I wonder, did Adam have spiritual knowledge?
Did he have what? Spiritual knowledge?
Yes. Or was he just all terra, earthly?
Well, think of it this way, Dave. He was walking with God every day, so I suspect he had a little bit of spiritual knowledge, I would think. But we can talk about that the next time. Yeah, Joe. You got 3 seconds.
I got one to think about that. I guess this when I used to go to that little church up in New York, the pastor was adamant about this. I think I was looking in Luke 2 where Gabriel met Mary, and I think that's where he pulled it out. I wish I would have wrote down the verse and all that. But something to think about. I don't know if anyone can answer it next time. Did Jesus always have that name? Jesus, because you know, I remember this pastor saying, "See, that's he never had the name Jesus before Gabriel told Mary, or no, was it John? You know, but before that time, you know, was he always known as Jesus, or did he have another name? Because I forget the name that the pastor told me about, but I don't know if anyone else can answer that. If there's anywhere in the Old Testament that says, you know, that I know him, I can't." So yeah, I mean that's another one. Was he always known as Jesus?
The name of Jesus. Go ahead, Leah.
It was Yeshua or Joshua. That was what his name was. But English is Jesus. So people say that you got to use the
tetragrammar,
but that's not true. We got saved under the name of Jesus. And Jesus is just fine.
Yeah. Jesus. David has a teaching on that, a little bit of a teaching on that also. Yeah, you get these guys coming around that want to argue with you that Jesus' name is not Jesus, it's YHWH. And I said, well, you can call him YHWH you want to. I'm going to call him Jesus. I don't even argue with him. That's what they want to do. It would cause divisiveness.
Those people also trusted in the name of Jesus to get saved. And then all of a sudden they had to do the spiritual thing, you know, Yeshua or Yeah. Ushua and all that kind of stuff. That's, that's craziness.
Yeah, well, that's putting them back under the law. It's just all it is. Trying to. Well, Father, we just thank you for another good evening. We praise you, Father, for all these wonderful people that love you. And we want to talk about you all the time, even these silly things sometimes we bring out. But, Lord, it's all directed at you. And we want you to be glorified in all that we do, Lord. And that's our main purpose, is to glorify you in all that we do. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us over the weekend. And come back here Tuesday night and be ready to go, excited about what you've done over the weekend in our lives. I thank you for protecting all my brothers and sisters that are listening in, that are here tonight, and giving them new revelations in your word, Lord, that you'd peel back those scriptures like an onion and show them the revelations that are there. There's revelation after revelation after revelation. And we got into some of that tonight. Pat got into some of that tonight. And that's awesome. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Protect them. Give them a good night's sleep tonight, too, Lord. Be with us. Provide for us. And may we have the Passover lamb, the Passover for this times ahead, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you. Get everybody unmuted here. Hey, Greg. Good to see you, everybody.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Gano. Good night.
All right, good night.
Everybody.
God bless.
Good night,
good night,
good night, everybody.
Good night. Saturday night. Who's going to be Saturday night? Is Willie here?
It's actually
there,
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Was that a yes, Willie?
I don't know if I'm going to be here or not.
Yeah, whenever I can or something pops up, I'll just call. I'll try to make sure everyone knows early if I can't.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fine.
All right. Yeah, see you Saturday.
All righty. All right.